This is CliffCentral.com.
The interview, as you know, we closed last week, and now we've started the new name of the show, the new branding, and it's called Spotlight 9 o'clock every morning, every Tuesday morning, here in the magic of podcasts and of internet radio. And also, now you can download the app. It's really, really cool. And just if you've just joined us, I'll tell you what the show is about. It focuses on entertainment. And we have the best in theatre, the best in television, the best in the movie industry, the best singers, we've got the best chefs, the best comedians, the best in travel, the whole, that's why we wanted to just put it in the spotlight. We've been doing the show for years. Sumizi and I originally did it. I did it with Nathan Rowe. And now, yeah, welcome to a Tuesday. And it's really, really good to be with you. My very special guest in studio, we're going to chat to Josh Ainslie. He is in Here's to You. He's also been cast in Rock of Ages. And, of course, he was that contestant in The Voice South Africa. We're going to talk to Tian Reitenbach and Marley van der Merwe, stars of As Pusterki. Okay. Cinderella. As Pusterki. Yeah. Like CliffCentral.com. As Pusterki. Okay. It's happening at the State Theatre. We'll talk to Chef Shimmy from the Sandton Intercontinental Towers about his new wonderful menu. Got great reviews. Wonderful stuff. And I wanted to get you in, Chef Shimmy. We'll talk to a very special guest in studio, Nicole Kappa, who's editor-in-chief of Luxuria magazine. She's also a crazy mountain climber. She was the former Miss South Africa, and she's currently placed at number 3 in Survivor South Africa. She's on Survivor at the moment. So we'll talk to her. But I want to open the show with one of the funniest men in South Africa, the one and only Stuart Taylor, comedian in Cape Town, about the Big Five comedy show happening this weekend. Stuart, welcome to the show. Stuart, are you there, Stuart? Where's Stuart? Have I got Stuart? Okay. I'm coming to Stuart in a moment. So, see, the Cape Townians take some time. Let's get there to Stuart. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's lekker to be here.
We had to connect. You. We had to connect there. I was trying to work it out. Big Five Comedy Show. It's coming back. Going to Durban,
it's
Cape Town,
back.
And Johannesburg.
Third year in a row, we are at the Teatro at Monte Cassino. It's this coming weekend, this Friday and Saturday, the end of July. I've got such a liquor lineup for you guys in Joburg, man. Two new faces that we haven't had on the shows before. We've got Scout the Satanote, rising star of SA comedy.
Yeah, he really is.
And like of worldwide comedy. I mean that when I say worldwide comedy. As soon as he finishes the show, he jumps on a plane and heads off to Edinburgh, where he's doing his one-man show at the Edinburgh Festival for a month.
That's amazing.
So very lucky to have him here. And then Tatsun Konzo, man, just won the Ovation Award at the Arts Festival. Such a charming performer, so funny. People are going to love Tats to bits. And then two stalwarts of the brand. We've got Kurt Skoonrad. It's his first time on the Joburg lineup, but he's done one or two of the other shows for us before. Legend of South African comedy, Kurt Skoonrad. And, of course, the godfather of alternative comedy, Mr. John Vlismus, is the man who headlines the show. So it's going to be incredible. Plus,
one and only Stuart Taylor.
I wasn't even going to say that. That's me. It goes without saying. I've got to do it because I don't get paid. It's not enough money.
Stuart, you're the producer.
So that's right, me.
Stuart.
The plus, Alan, is DJ Reddy D, a legendary scratch master, amazing pop DJ. He's the one on stage with us.
Okay, well, the show is great. It's going to be sold out. It's going to be packed. Stuart Taylor, what are people laughing about at the moment? What's funny?
Ooh, that's a tough question, eh? I think some people are laughing because things feel like they're getting a bit better. In this country, it feels like things are moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Some people are laughing at people who think that things are moving in the right direction. and that's the beauty of this lineup. You know, when we create the lineup, we do go, what is the most diverse views we can possibly have on one show? We want people to go, ooh, I'm there to see John Christmas, but then walk away going, wow, Tats and Konzo is amazing. Alternatively, I'm such a big fan of Skulpers 8 Note, but then walk away there going, sure, Kurt Skoonraad is hilarious. Mm. So it's that thing of we create a show with as many views as possible. I mean, if there's one thing South Africans do know how to do, it's how to laugh. It's how to laugh at ourselves. Sometimes we forget a little bit that's one of our strengths. But hopefully, if you come and watch a show like The Big Five, you kind of walk away going, "Yeah, man, it's cool. We're quite a diverse group of people, but we can all laugh." In the same show for the same things.
Stuart, I was a special guest with Gareth this morning, and we had Kurt in studio with us, and he mentioned awesome. Durban. Wow. We need to put a firecracker up there, bump. Because he had a lot to say about Durban. But
yeah.
Tell me about Durban, performing in Durban. Are you batting to sell there?
Well, Durban, I mean, the shows are always amazing in Durban because it's an audience who loves to laugh, but they're a late booking audience. I think that's the concern. Mm. It's like a promoter's concern. Do you know what I mean? And so ultimately what happens as a promoter, you kind of go, guys, if you're not going to book before, if you get to a week before and you've sold so few tickets, it's easier sometimes for you to pull the gig than it is to pay all of the wages. As soon as you fly your acts in, you pay them their full wages. You've got to pay for flights. You've got to pay for accommodation. Mm. So as soon as people are late buyers, it does put that city into a space. I think where promoters go, nah, actually they don't have the right mentality. I mean, we've seen the places like PE and East London. There's always the moan of, yo guys, come to us, and then you go, yeah, but if things are being brought to you, you're waiting until on the day to buy. So it's not that the sales are bad. It's just that people tend to wait until the last minute. So that is more just kind of gives like little heart attacks for the promoters as well.
Big Five Comedy Show. It's happening in Cape Town, Durban, and in Johannesburg this particular weekend. In Johannesburg, the show goes around the country. Actually, it goes around the world. When are we in Cape Town? When are we in Durbs?
Durbs, we're heading there in September, 7th of September, so a little bit of a wait for Durban. And then Cape Town, we close off the year on the 2nd of November. We like to space it out so we can focus on each city. And, of course, the lineups change for each city. Nick Rabinowitz and Jason Goliath are two of the acts heading off to Durban, and of course Jason Goliath's on the Cape Town lineup as well. So yeah, but Joburg, you're in for a treat this weekend. Monte Cassino at the Teatro. It's going to be such a jewel. I'd love to see you there.
Stuart Taylor, thank you for being on the show, my friend. Always good to have
you. Thank you for having me, man, and I'll see you at the show.
We'll see you, to all our friends
out there listening. Make sure, don't be one of those Durban late buyers, guys.
As Gareth said, it goes from $180 to $350.
Yes.
If you're cheap, $180. If you're poor, if you're rich, $350.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's how you put it. I'm just quoting him. All right, but thank you for joining us. Thank you for having us in loads of laughter, because I think laughter is the best medicine. And
it is.
Always good to chat to you. Stuart Taylor, thank you.
Lekker boss.
Don't miss that show, The Big Five Comedy. It was good to speak to the one and only Stuart Taylor. All right, so we've got some special guests in studio before we get to our guests. Hello, Josh. What's up? How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks, yourself.
I just thought you got a great... We had so much fun with Here's to You.
Enjoyed
with the cast
last
week.
Thursday, weren't you?
I've got it to you. I actually didn't make it. There was a problem. I had to deal with something. You know, when you television producing and you got small crisis, you had to... But I'm going to be coming this week.
Okay.
Otherwise, Yaku will have my neck and Vessel, who are the producers of the show. Here's to You is a... I kept saying the tribute show to Simon and Garfunkel. Actually, it's not. It's the Simon and Garfunkel songbook.
Correct.
Yeah. And people end up singing and loving the stuff that you guys do. So we didn't play Here's to You, Mrs. Robinson. Okay, which is, by the way, that's where the show is named after, if you haven't put it together. So I thought we could rock and open the show with Simon Garfunkel, Here's to You, Mrs. Robinson. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go.
Ready, you ready? And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. God bless you, please, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey. Sitting on a sofa on a Sunday afternoon, going to the candidate's debate. Laughing about it, shout about it when you got the truth.
Everyone, join in the song.
Perhaps have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? A nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Ooh, what's that to say, Mrs. Robinson? Jones and Joe has left and gone away.
Good one, Josh. Yay! Fun.
I don't know why, but I left it into the last verse there for some reason.
Yeah, loved it. We went with it. We're going to get you playing some more stuff throughout the course of the show. Nicole Kappa, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Come close to that microphone.
Thank you.
Nicole,
I've been staying away. There's been singing.
There's some incredible stuff that's going on here. Firstly, you've just launched Luxuria Lifestyle Magazine.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm working with you on this project, which is really, really great. Firstly, tell me about Luxuria Lifestyle Magazine.
Luxuria Lifestyle is a global luxury magazine and eventing company. So worldwide in the past 3 years, based in London, they've done over 400 B2C events for luxury brands worldwide. And I'm very excited to be able to bring that to the South African market. And we have only just recently launched. After I finished filming Survivor, managed to start that in May.
So it's actually just open. And and the nice thing is when you go to this magazine, you can... So let's say we had to do a review on Here's to You. We would get we bring in a video element, almost similar to Top Billing, and insert that. Now you can read the article and click to get a bit of some of the magic that's happening there. We're going to look at doing some radio podcasting work in the luxury market, and so those are some of the exciting things. Then Nicole, so that's what you've just recently launched,
correct?
But your first platform was as Mrs. South Africa, all right, and then of course you at the moment one of the people love you from Survivor. It's amazing, eh? How people love
not everyone, Helen.
Well, not even. No, I know. When at the last episode when you were discussing food fantasies for an hour and a half in a challenge where you were hanging.
Food keeps you motivated and focused.
Okay, let's just fix that microphone.
Thank you. That's better.
And coming back to it, so as we were saying, the Survivor whole interesting experience, we can talk about that. We're going to talk about Mrs. South Africa. I want to start with Mrs. South Africa because it was a very interesting period of time in your life. Okay,
yes,
because at the time, the Mrs. South Africa basically has got besides the inspiration work that you do, the charity work that you do, you have the perfect family. Okay, and perfect mom. Okay, and in the middle
of white picket fence,
and Mrs. South Africa. That's the whole. Correct. Come on, that's the idea. And in the middle of your reign, your life fell to pieces because you found out your husband was having an affair with your best friend, and it ended your marriage, and it put this title under a lot of pressure.
Yes,
for you.
It did.
Okay, the reason we can talk about it is because it was in the magazines, it was in newspapers.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So first and foremost, I'm not saying this is what they wanted to do, but in their minds, they are the minds of South Africans. We want to take the title away from you because how did you not see that coming? You didn't see it coming.
I didn't, Alan. But in hindsight obviously is a gift. At the
time,
it felt like I was losing everything. At the time, I didn't think there was any recovery. But you learn down the line that the failure is what defines you and how you deal with it.
And a problem, what actually happened there, which you speak about, is the fact that, which I'm very intrigued to get the book one day when you write the book, is that you were playing the mommy, the wifey. You're a pharmacist, you got a medical degree or science degree. He didn't want you to spread your wings and fly. And you said that this experience, you've told me this, and just if you want to comment on it, was the best for your self-growth. Not because of what you learned from the marriage, because what you're able to do now. True.
It was the absolute hardest time of my life, without a doubt, but I needed to go through it because I needed to learn a good few humbling lessons. And I kind of call it my emancipation because I lost a lot. I lost more than I wanted to lose, but I gained so much more than I ever thought I would. And in the process, I gained confidence, self-respect, goals. And to truly be an example to women, you need to have goals of your own. Mm-hmm. And I realized at one point that I have two kids looking up at me. And if they were in my position, what would I hope they would do one day? And I think that's the motivation behind everything that I do, literally, is I want to be an example to those kids.
And so I love that, so here's the Mrs. South Africa title, This Disaster Goes On In Your Life, which you didn't see coming, right? Then you decided, well, okay, I actually want to do something crazy.
Yes.
Just because to raise funds for charity and do different things, and you went and you climbed Kilimanjaro and Everest.
Yes. I think I have an how many other
You do Mont Blanc soon. No,
yes, September Mont Blanc. So okay. Everest Base Camp was my first climb. Yeah, and that was the beginning of many, many climbs. I fell in love with the mountains. And
but you almost died on Everest. You know, let's talk
side
about
note, why do we have to go there every time?
She almost died.
It's dramatic.
Because besides the fact that her life is falling to pieces, she's getting divorced. Her
this is like such
on the
a
line.
Good promo for me, Alan.
I know. The woman climbs up to Base Camp Everest and almost dies. And you've done it, but you went back. And you succeeded.
I am the living, relatable example of failure is not fatal, right? Unless you actually die, which I didn't. So I went to base camp and they drop you off in a light aircraft in the mountains on a little runway called Lukla. It is not an airport. You jump off the plane and you start hiking. And I jumped off the plane, went to collect my bag from the back of the plane, and there was no bag.
She had no jerseys, guys.
No jerseys. I did well. I actually got to base camp.
She carried on doing it with no clothes.
Guys? Not no clothes.
No,
that's
no clothes. No. You weren't nude. I'm just saying, you didn't have the proper climbing.
My soul was naked.
I didn't mean it like that. You know what I'm saying? But you don't have the right. So, and you did it. What happened that you got into trouble up there? We're going to dwell on
that. No. It's actually a good lesson. I was so overzealous for the mountains that I lost the respect for Mother Nature, and she is the ultimate mother. Mm. She will humble you. So when I got to base camp, I was expending a lot of energy. I went and I did another local peak called Kalapata at the time, and then sleeping on a glacier at minus 20 degrees for two nights in a row, I started coughing. And then you are, again, oxygen deprivation, you ignore the signs, and started hiking down, was coughing more and more during the hike down in a blizzard. And before I knew it, it was 10 o'clock at night, in the dark, on the floor, in the snow, on the mountains.
Josh, we've got to think of a song about women or something.
Something dramatic.
I want you to think
of
something dramatic. So something like, I'm a survivor, I'm like a killer, I'm a survivor. Okay.
The cold never bothered me anyway.
Let it go. Okay.
I know every word to that song.
Okay, all right. So again, it's incredible story. And then, of course, we can't really talk much about Survivor because you're in it. And I know there are a lot of contracts and a lot of clauses.
Correct.
But we do know that the guys have stopped filming and they're back in South Africa, even though like 10 people still left in the show.
Correct.
And that happens on Thursday nights on Mnet.
Mnet at 7 p.m.
Tune
in. And throw your popcorn at the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, you yeah. And Nicole, I've known you for some time.
Yeah.
And you're lovely and you're likable and you're cool. But I want to know, do you become a bitch and survive? It's a good question.
Okay, what I will say is I'm a huge fan of the show because it is absolute reality. And when you are surviving in the elements, because I've done it outside of the show on mountains and climbs, you are literally, you're freezing cold, you're stressed to your physical, mental, emotional limits. It pushes you to a zone where you become the best and worst version of yourself all at once. It dives into that darkest 20% of everybody. And that's obviously great TV. But yes, I'm not a
I've content produced this before, this particular program. And we want you to get cross.
There's darkness in everyone, Alan.
But yeah.
Motherhood.
Yes, exactly. If you can survive motherhood, you can survive on an island.
Marley van der Merwe and Tien Rotenbach, let me bring you into the show. It's the stars of Aspusterki.
The stars.
The stars, okay.
I love it.
Tien, so let me just get some background. Tien was in Complex.
Yes.
Okay, you've done some work with Generations.
Yes.
You've been on Cagnet Throat Net Rugby.
Yes.
And then Marley, Starlopers, op Cagnet, Fumonti, Girl Talk, Binnenlanders, Hotel. You and Skalk were saying, no, also, wasn't Skalk in Hotel?
Yeah.
So you've been, basically they've been in the business a long time. It's like when we meet executive chef Shimmy later, you know, they've got their creds. Yeah. They got the creds, okay? Not saying you don't, Josh. Josh obviously has the creds as well. But we're going to talk in a second. So firstly, isn't it fun dressing up and putting all that makeup on your face?
It is amazing.
Yes.
The makeup is
great. Josh, as you said,
it looks amazing.
I think like for women, we're used to having to put on makeup every, like, it's like, oh, I have to put on makeup and it takes so much time because we do our own makeup in the show and our own hair.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to look nonchalant about putting on makeup, but they love it, and they wear hoop skirts.
Because in the show, Cinderella is played by
Caroline van Jaarsveld,
Bobby's sister. You play the evil stepmother.
Okay. Yes.
And I know you're 37.
Right? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tian, he's turning 41.
Yeah.
Oh, just turned 41. Sorry. Second of February. Yes. Oh. I saw that. Good, eh?
You know so much.
1978. I've got it. Actually, I don't have it in front of me. I've just got it in my head. Okay. And so basically, the older boy plays.
He's my daughter.
Yes. Your daughter.
Yes, okay. there's a line in the show where she says, you're both, where she tells the two sisters, you're both in your 30s and we need to get out of the house. And we did the show 4 years ago, and when we did it again, I was wondering, why does that line suddenly feel like such a compliment? I'm like, oh, thank you. You're both in your 30s.
Lovely being an ugly stepsister.
It is.
The villain role. Nathan Rowe presented the show with me. He's now gone to Cape Town for a year, and he's playing the villain in Kinky Boots, by the way.
Oh,
so on the Few God, I want to give it a punt. Yes. So if you're going to Cape Town, because it's not coming up to Johannesburg, go and see Kinky Boots. Okay, it's going to be really fun stuff. We're going to come back to you also, Josh, in a second, because you've just been cast for Rock of Ages. But I want to play on something here, guys. We're used to traditional stage theater, movies, films, television. You guys entered reality competitions. Okay. It's quite a different thing, eh? Josh, again, I want to come to...
A whole new world.
Okay, a whole new world. Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to find karaoke. Wait. Let me write karaoke.
Oh, dear. I chose this line.
Sure, hold on. We're gonna find it now. Can you play it though?
I've never tried to.
Okay, wait, let's just see. Hold on. We'll learn now. Okay, guys, I don't know. I haven't done this before, but let's see.
Let's see where we're going.
Okay, let's see. I've never heard this version. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicole Kappa and Josh Ansley with the rendition of the surviving version of Whole New World.
I can open your eyes.
World.
Shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes.
Okay, Nicole.
Take you wonder by wonder. Over sideways and under on a magic carpet ride.
Oh, Josh.
She said, a whole new world, a new fantastic point.
Okay,
Malia. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say you're only dreaming. A whole new world. A dazzling place I never knew. Now from way up here, it's crystal clear. And now I'm in a whole new world with you.
It's one, so very two, early. Everybody.
Unbelievable sights, indescribable feelings. Soaring, tumbling, freewheeling through an endless time and sky. A whole new world. There goes your ride. Life holds your breath, it gets better. I'm like a shooting star. It comes so far.
Okay. Tian, hold it. Can't go back. To where? To where? Go. My lips.
With new horizons.
Okay, all right. But we gave it a shot.
You need to get our screens.
Yeah, just cut it.
Put the
screens on the wall guys, so that you can do more karaoke.
Wow.
That
is so cool. That was life goals. I mean, singing with you guys was who came singing up, who came?
Okay, but now, literally, Nicole, you get up to Everest.
Yes.
And you're looking out from the top, all the mountains that you've done, and you're looking down on the world. And that's what people say is some of the most incredible experiences, because you cannot believe you that hot that you're the closest point in the world, well, not like, except you're in a plane, where you're maybe touching the heavens.
Well, if you want to get really deep, let's have a DMC here, Adam.
Let's do this one.
Do you know what you do when you get to the top of a mountain? It's very profound.
Do you only vomit?
No.
No.
You turn around 180 degrees and you walk back down. It's very empty. It's beautiful. It's amazing, but the joy is in the climb. The most amazing part is on the way up. When you get there, you're at the top. It's done. It's over. You come back down. The best part is climbing.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. How profound was that?
Sure.
I know.
So basically, you just killed my whole... Thanks for a whole new... A whole new nothing, John.
A whole new empty.
A whole new 180 degrees and then gone. Down we go. But again, it is the climb. It's getting there. And the vomit joke was about when Patricia Lewis got to the top.
Yeah.
She had such bad.
No, a lot of people do.
What do they call it?
Altitude.
Altitude sickness. Yeah. She was just vomited. It was killer. She did it. It was part of the one show that she was doing on SABC2. And she just, it was just terrible. I've done Sani Pass and a bit of the Malutis. Okay. And I must tell you, and I have to say this with love, I will never do it again. I did it for Unite Against Hunger with some of the best chefs, like Hans Brunner and we had Chef Stephen Bellingham, and we all went up and did that. Chef Shimmy. I don't know if you were with us when we did this. We raised funds for Unite Against Hunger, and we fed a lot of people up at the top of the Malutis. It was actually really cool.
Wow.
But it was the worst experience in the world. I hated every second. I was planning to do Everest afterwards, and after that, I'm sorry. I just was... really hard. I hated it. It was uncomfortable. I was cold. It was in February. It was for my birthday. I sat crying. It was terrible. It was just, I was in misery. And
you need to
least,
take me with you next time. It's way more fun.
So you've
got
to
sing the whole
me.
Way
Will
really badly.
Yes. Yes. And you talk about like the food, your food fantasies that you did in the last Survivor chat.
Yes.
We'll get to you in a moment. But what I want to get to you about this, to you doing these climbs, what are some of the most profound things you've seen? What did you come across that's just incredible?
I must say, last year I was fortunate enough to climb Kilimanjaro for Women's Day, and it is one of the toughest climbs just because of that last summit night. You've climbed all day from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m., and then you have dinner, you have a 90-minute nap, and you set off again at 10 p.m. So you haven't slept, and you climb through that night. You just, it's shale, it's slippery. You're climbing three steps forward, two steps back the whole way, and it's 12 at night, it's 1 a.m., it's 2 a.m., it's 3 a.m., and you just keep going and going. And then you watch the highest sunrise in Africa, right near the summit. You're about to summit, and you look over your shoulder and you turn around, and the sun is rising over the clouds. And you've been freezing cold all night, and the sunlight hits your skin. There is nothing like that feeling. Nothing. I will never forget that moment. And that, for me, was the gift of Kilimanjaro, not the summit.
Okay. You must have incredible experience coming into Everest. I mean, there, I would imagine, but firstly, I mean, someone said to me, was I standing with you when we spoke about Kashmir? And he said,
yes.
You know, people don't realize that when they're going to do Everest, they don't take cash with them.
It's great shopping.
And it's the best cashmere in the world. When you pay like 300 Rand there, it costs you 10,000 Rand. Yeah, seriously. But again, the people must be fascinating.
They are. That's the best part about it. And we were sitting on the beach.
What are they called? Sherpas. What are the Sherpas? So the Sherpas, which basically, if you don't know what a Sherpa is, they go up with you. They're your tour guide slash they help you carry stuff. Yeah, caddies, good one, well done.
Your mountain
Marlene. Marlene's presenting the show here. So Alan Ford, spotlight with Alan Ford and Marie van der Merwe.
She's in the driving seat.
Okay, I'm loving it. Stay there.
Yeah. Suits you.
But the people, incredible. That must be, I mean, the Sherpas that you work with.
Well, we were sitting on the beach for Survivor, and you all chat about the most random things. And we were trying to figure out why it wasn't more profound that you're sitting on this beach in Samoa in this exquisite beauty, and you don't really, you don't appreciate it. Because what are the two things that make travel amazing? It's
food
mm-hmm. and people.
Yeah.
And family, people you know and love. Yeah. So.
And yeah, and I think your contestants are, in Survivor are actually not your family. You are.
Some do become your family. Yeah. I mean,
but no, you didn't win absolutely. R1 million. You know, you're coming into as a game. You've never met them before.
No.
Okay. At the end of the day, to be the ultimate survivor, you have to be cutthroat. You have to have alliances. You've got to fire a few people. Not fire a few. What do they call vote off?
Send Look at
home.
The weather today, guys.
Yeah.
It's quite fresh.
But you sent home Nathan. I saw that was quite hectic.
And on that note.
Okay. We can't really talk about. Well, you can because, I mean, we can't discuss anything going forward in the show and how. But it's a scary experience.
It is. And very different to something like climbing with a Sherpa or a guide who literally has your back. They're there to see you succeed. And it's all about helping you reach your goals. Those are some of the most selfless people that risk their lives to get people up a mountain.
Very special guest in studio, Nicole Kappa, Editor-in-Chief of Luxuria Lifestyle Magazine. Give us the address,
www.luxurialifestylesouthafrica.com. Just
Africa,
go and
the
Google.
Whole of
and
South
if you
Africa.
Google luxury lifestyle magazines in on Google, that's here today. We come up first.
Which is brilliant. She's former South Africa. She's also on Survivor at the moment. I've got Tian Rotenbank and Marlie van der Merwe from Aspoortzespoestetki.
Careful.
We'll get that right. got Josh Anzem. We'll chat to Chef Shimi in a moment about his spectacular food at the Intercontinental Sandton Towers. We're going to chat about that. And so that's all coming up. That's what we've got on the show. And, of course, Josh Anzem is here in the studio about the show Here's to You, which is the last weekend. By the way, it's sold out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So you've got to go tonight and tomorrow.
Wednesday and Thursday night. There might be tickets available for the weekend, but last weekend was jam-packed.
That's why we moved the show to a Tuesday, because so many people would say, thanks for telling us about Disney on Ice, but it's sold out.
Thanks for
telling us about Here's to You, but, you know, I wanted to take my wife out for the weekend, but by Thursday we made a plan of a restaurant. Tuesday, you know, you got some time. So that's why we moved the show. That's why now we've got it called Spotlight. So that's some incredible stuff, and we're going to come back to that in a moment. Marlie and Tian, it's the best part about being in this business. Tell me, for you.
It's the climb.
That's my line.
No. I can totally relate to what Nicole said, actually. It's like you know... The reality is, when you think you're on top of the world, tomorrow you're nothing. So that's the one part of it. But I think the best part of it is becoming family with people who you work with, especially theater. Theater is different every night. You never know what you're going to get. This pantomime, like the audience is the other character. Mm. And whatever they give you, you have to go with it. And, that's always very exciting.
Do you love the kids' reactions?
Yes. It's strange because we don't... I think we are playing for the adults a little bit more, almost. I mean, it's everything is very much kid friendly, but we especially as the baddies, we cater more for the adult part of the audience. So
yeah.
I do love their reactions.
Yeah,
you know,
and they are horrible to the audience members.
Yes, they say horrible things.
I make the kids cry. I live for it though. Makes me feel alive.
I live. Wildly funny name. I love to make the kids cry. How do you make them cry? Tell me about that.
My character is just really
it's just
evil.
Just your presence. Yeah. I must say, yeah.
Do they actually cry?
I say one line and they start crying.
And they start crying.
Wow. I come on.
She's very scary.
45 minutes into the show, I've put my foot on out of the wing for the first time. Yeah. I say one line and they start to cry.
She
what's the line?
But even as a
aren't you? I want to know what the line
I'm
is.
I'm intrigued. No, I just say but and you know, van mimi kurtse gaan hier aan, and the kids start crying.
Oh, shit.
And but we almost start crying sometimes. And she is
poor,
scary.
And poor Tani Mimi, I mean, really.
Yeah. Well, okay. She must just be really, like, she should feel honored that her name is mentioned.
By the way, but you're in her space, eh?
That's her space. On her turf.
That's her turf, give it to her. Again, what an incredible, she's an incredible person. I've done some work with her before.
Amazing.
And she's better than ever, by the way. Crazier
Amazing.
Than ever.
Hello.
And 85, I think.
Legend.
Mimi Kutz is a name scaring everybody. And interesting, because her most famous opera of all time was Queen of the Night, which is quite a dark role. So, I mean, that's an appropriate way to use it. Yeah. And Tian, tell us about what you love about the business.
What don't I love about the business? I don't know. Yeah, it's the fact that you really never know what tomorrow will bring. It definitely keeps you on your toes and it stays exciting. I actually quite recently had a year and a half of very little work and was getting really down, and within a month or two I'm so ridiculously busy that I don't have time for anything. So it's always exciting. You never know what's going to happen, and I guess that's what keeps me interested.
If I can give people, because we've got a lot of people that tune into the show to listen to the great from the Miss and Mrs. South Africa's to great actors to great singers and performers to great chefs to great comedians, as you just hear in one show, this is not an easy business. Mm-mm. Okay, and it's not an easy business because often you're what you call a freelancer, so you're freelancing all the time. Number two is you're similar to chef when you put a plate of food out, you're judged on that performance on that plate, and you can have an off day. Why not? An accountant doesn't get judged. Well, maybe they get into trouble because it's probably fraud. But I mean, if they have an off day, people have off days, and it's okay. You can't have the off day, and you get you got on television. You got millions of people scrutinizing you.
Yeah,
Survivor, millions of people. Josh, The Voice, millions of people. But it's the strangest thing is that when Chef Shimmy Selot puts down a plate of food, that person is judging that meal. It's the same thing. It's a performance on a plate. That's all it is. This is not an easy business, and work, it can be infrequent. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I love Romilda van Rensburg, but she always says this, she did a Gawley for 10 something, maybe longer than 10 years, but then there were years where she was very, very quiet.
Yeah,
and that's how it works. So don't go in with this illusion.
No.
Okay, and by the way, it happens with millionaire actresses in Hollywood as well. Okay, and actors, I mean, who also can't find work, and then you see them in series because they go from movies and winning Academy Awards to doing other things. But I'm just saying, but if you love it and you're good at it, it is the best in the world. But you've got to push through, and you've got to know it's not easy.
Yeah, and it's just I sometimes feel like theatre, especially, it feels like an abusive relationship, like. When you're not doing it, you miss it. When you're there, you're like, I'm out of here. You get so sick of it because it's so hard. Like on a Sunday, like when you just did three shows on a Saturday or whatever, like you're so tired and your costume hurts you. And there's just so many aspects of it that it's really, really hard. But then it's like, you get an applause and you're like, I love my job. It's just like that one moment that you remember. Yeah. It's like childbirth. Or it's like you only remember the good times.
Now,
it's important to come to, because TV is very different to you.
Yeah.
Because when you got Binnenlanders.
I'm on Getrouwd.
Are you now on Getrouwd?
Yeah.
Did you ever do Binnenlanders?
Yes, I did. I played an evil bitch in it.
Okay, cool. It seems to be... I wonder what's going on here. Nicole, anything happening?
Do you want to go for coffee? I feel like we need to hang out.
Here's the thing. Okay, so you're on Getrouwd Mindagwe now.
Yes.
But you do. You end up sitting around for long periods of time. You know, you're learning your script. It's a very different medium.
So different.
Though, your acknowledgement... your profile is so much more heightened and brighter.
Yeah.
And the work, I'm saying, not that the work's easy, but theatre works hard. It's hard. Josh, and you know how hard it is. Every single...
Yeah. The first run of Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm hitting... It's ridiculous up tenor notes, which is what I enjoy.
and what I'm good at. But
after the
I remember that first weekend when we did like an 11 o'clock show on a Sunday after two shows on a Saturday, and you get there and you go to the warm up and it's like squawk, you know?
Nothing.
And it did teach me how to pace myself for the rest of the shows. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do the best at half, or you know, because I would go in with 120% on my vocals like every night, and it's just too much, you know. Like I was trying to sing like Chris Cornell, and you know, you need to dial it back to like sort of.
I did an interview with Celine Dion yeah. in Vegas. Firstly, they had a very special mechanism on the stage that they built in for her that came and gave her this different type of air, because otherwise
it was like a huge humidifier under the stage. Entire stage. Wow. Really?
Vegas.
And you needed the backup singers to help. To help.
Oh, that'd be nice.
There's no way you can sing those notes. Those notes every single. And she was doing 8 shows a week.
Wow.
Instead of smoke machines, for 2 years. You should have humidifiers.
That's what they do.
It would be the same effect.
Just terrible hair.
That hair didn't.
Wrong movie.
So all right. So Josh, what is your favorite song to play and sing? Look, he's about to die. Let's see if we can all sing a song.
Even his ums are melodic.
Isn't it just beautiful?
Josh Ansley and Sue with a great bunch of guests. We're having so much fun, and we'll chat to you, Chef Shimmy, in a moment. But it's Josh. What are we gonna sing? What's your favorite song? Go.
I like this song, but it might be very early in the morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of the dark black night.
You're beautiful. Yeah,
leave it at that.
Yeah, don't worry. We get everyone to start to sing their music happy songs. On that note, food makes people very happy. Nicole Kappa, you sat there with that food fantasy. What were you doing there? What was your strategy? You had how many contestants? About 10. Okay.
Yes.
And you were in that. Had you?
I think there were 12.
Had you suspend yourself for 2.5 hours? Okay.
Well, when we started, we didn't think that we could actually hold that long. It was.
To explain, you're
standing holding a pole over your head, and if you drop your arms, you get covered in a bucket of paint.
Okay, I saw that, yeah.
And the pain is so intense in the first few minutes, but that eventually fades. So I didn't realize we could actually go for 2.5 hours. But mentally, that's exhausting. You have to distract yourself, and there's
and
no
you're hungry.
Way.
And you're hungry.
Hungry. So we speak about food.
So you decided to use this to actually. What were you doing?
I think I kind of lost it. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't really talk about this, Alan. I can't remember. I have such bad PTSD. I've forgotten.
But just for what the viewer saw, she went through. I think at one point she ended on chicken.
Pepper steak garage pie.
And I thought after 2.5 hours of listening to.
Chef Shimmy is rolling his eyes.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to the show from the executive chef of Sandton Intercontinental Towers, Chef Shimmy Sello. How are you, Chef?
I'm good, and yourself?
Good. Thank you for joining us on the show.
It's a pleasure being here.
Chef, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Firstly, what is hot at the moment? What is the food? What are the top trends in food this winter?
Winter time is all about game meat.
Is it game?
Game meat, yes. It's trendy. Game meat is trendy.
Okay, so we're slaking wildebeest and slaking kudu.
Yeah.
What's your favorite game dish, venison dish?
My favorite.
What's your special on the menu?
Okay, my special is the pork, springbok shank.
Okay, so I want to just tell you, Chef launched the menu recently, and I'm not a meat eater, but I saw that springbok shank, and the meat was dripping. Because it's harder to cook venison but the meat that she was falling off the bone.
That was cooked for 2 hours.
2 hours?
2 hours, and it was marinated.
All right, if you've joined us and you want to know how to make a beautiful springbok loin, all right, you can go and buy the shank. Okay, sorry, not loin. Get the right body parts. I'm making such mistakes. I started to say dot to start with puskerkis, shanks. Okay. All right. So tell us if someone's listening right now and they want to know your signature shank dish when it comes to springbok, how do you do it?
All right. Okay. First, we need to get a good quality, because remember, we've got middlemen. So make sure you got a good quality of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After you got your shank, you need to marinate it overnight. At least a good 6-7 hours before you start cooking.
Now tell us what you marinated, because you went through it when you described it.
Yes, you need a good red wine. Yeah. Not over me, papsak, nope. Not that one.
Chef says very clearly, no papsak, no, not papsak, that one that you left in the fridge for a week. Okay, good red one, okay?
Yeah, you need a good red wine.
Okay.
So you got your bay leaves,
mm-hmm.
you've got your thyme, you've got your rosemary, and you put it in your any other dish that can fit in, and you put all the herbs in there and the red wine, and then you close it for about minimum of 7 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then after that, Chef, You put it into the oven, and at what temperature?
No, you braise it first.
Ah, okay. So, important. We're missing something. Braise. All right. So we got to braise it. Tell me how we braise.
So after 7 hours, you take it off that marinade. So you take your onions, you take your carrots, you take your celery and your leeks,
mm-hmm.
and you braise it in the pan.
Okay.
Yeah. You fry them. You saute them, and then you put your shank in there just to give it a color.
Okay.
Exactly. Just minimum butter or oil. But minimum. And then after you take that very same marinade, you put in there, and you put some whatever stock you have. You can put water if you don't have stock at home. And you close it with in the oven for about 2 hours. About 170 degrees.
I want to tell, if you go to Luxuria Lifestyle magazine, by the way, they have got your recipe because they were filming.
Yeah.
Okay. You did some other. They were filming. So go and have a look, because that's just something.
I
didn't just realize right now that I just tied it in.
Two of our influencers were there.
Yeah, the influencers were there.
They loved it.
Chef, what else is great? What when we come to your restaurant, what can we expect? What are some of your signature dishes?
I've got one of my favorite dishes. It's a lasagna. It's a deconstructed lasagna.
Really?
Yes, deconstructed. It's not that old lasagna that you bang in the freezer for 2 days and then you take it. This one is made fresh. Each and every item on the dish is made fresh. So the pasta, we make it fresh.
Because it's easy to make pasta, by the way.
Very easy. Yeah.
And it really is. It's the easiest thing. It's an egg and a bit of flour.
Yeah. Really?
And then that's it. It really is. Is it easy? And roll it out.
And roll it. And
especially with lasagna. It's hard to make spaghetti because you need the machines to cut.
Exactly.
But lasagna, you can roll your own.
You can roll your pasta, yeah. And then the ratatouille is made fresh.
Mm.
And then the wild mushroom ragu is made fresh. And the basil pesto in there is made fresh.
Okay,
so when you order, everything is cooked fresh. When it comes to you, it's fresh. No freezer, nothing.
Mm. What are your starters? What do you love? What are the best starters on the menu?
My favorite salad is what I call the atrium salad. It's more healthy. Remember, people are going more healthy. They are more health conscious.
You can have a big loin of springbok. Now you're going to have to just cut down.
Exactly.
Not all of us, but some of us.
All of us.
So now let's jump from the unhealthy. And now, Chef, tell us about the dessert. What do you? We had the chocolate there, but we had that chocolate torte.
I think you had cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Yeah.
But I've got the classic chocolate fondant on my menu, so that's.
Oh, but now the secret about everyone's going.
I haven't had breakfast.
We need samples. Where are the samples?
All I'm saying is, you know what you got to do? You got to go and make a booking and go and see Chef at the Intercontinental Sandton Towers. Chef, again, when it comes to cooking, What are some of your tips for people about what they should know about cooking? I mean, it's especially people get very intimidated, but when you want to do something special, go back. The internet is there for you to do it. Don't feel intimidated.
Exactly.
And make sure you get the right fresh ingredients. Yeah, there's your secret.
Exactly. And the other thing, you know how to handle your ingredients. You know, it doesn't matter to buy from Woolworths, they're the most expensive, but if you don't respect the ingredients, you'll never get it right. You need to respect what you're doing. You need to respect those kids. Give them some love, and I promise you, you'll get whatever you want.
I love Chef Shamir. Sure. How cool is Chef Shamir? I'm going to go. Oh, I'm like so cool. Chef, thank you for being in studio with us. It's an absolute pleasure to get you here with us. And that's one only Chef Shamir from Samsung Intercontinental Towers. It's really, really cool stuff. We've got a short period of time left on the show. Josh Ansley, you go off to Rock of Ages. After this, huh?
In September, we start rehearsing, and then the show opens on the 26th of September at the Teatro Monte.
You're going to come back in and play some stuff for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was actually supposed to be doing something on ETV this Wednesday, but there was a double booking, so they've moved my slot.
Tian, your show ends this weekend.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Asprusterki. Cinderella in English. Okay, Asprusterki. You'll never say that I've got a few television shows that on CakeNet. Eh? But this is Asprusterki. I'm not used to that P in life. You know, my boyfriend and I are not used to that. Okay. The last time I saw it was childbirth, but that was a whole other story.
Whoa!
We got to do something. What are you doing next?
Next up for me is actually also a VR theatrical production, Forever Plaid, which is it's four guys singing tight harmonies.
Yeah.
What? Give us something. What are you going to be singing? Give me one.
I've only auditioned. I sing Catch a Falling Star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
That is such a cool song. You do it as a four piece.
Yes. Songs so from that genre. Yeah. From that.
You know that song. Time
period, yeah.
I know. So is it going to be like almost like a Jersey Boys sort of like doo-wop like sort of vibe?
It's like a doo-wop-y. It's like a much smaller version of Jersey Boys.
Back in the day, it used to be called the Glee groups. Who got them now? It's definitely got that vibe. Marley, tell us what you're up to next, my dear.
Well, in theatre, I'm doing Rocky Horror next. I'm playing the role of Magenta.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rocky Horror starts soon. Where is that performed?
It's going to show in Cape Town first. So it's going to be at the Cape Town Opera over the December holidays. And then we're coming to Joburg.
Who's playing Frankenfurt? Who's playing?
Craig O'Barney.
Oh, I love it. So Craig's going to go from...
It's true.
Yes, the rumors are true.
The rumors are true.
You heard it first here, folks.
Listen to that car. I've seen it all over the world. I will say the following, though. It's gonna, and Craig I love, by the way. Mm-hmm. But Brendan from Rain. It's going to be hard to...
Yeah.
I think Brendan's still the best, but Craig's brilliant. Craig's going to... What is Craig doing now? Chicago. Yeah. Of course, Chicago to Rock of Ages to
Crazy.
So what time do you start running in Cape Town then? Because how's he going to do Rock of Ages and...
Wait a minute.
Not my problem.
When do you start running in Cape Town?
I think it's mid-December.
Josh, we know what you have too. Okay. And Nicole Kappa, we're going to see what happens in Survivor. You can't... am I right? No one knows who's won the million because it's going to come back.
Nobody knows.
That vote's going to come back to South Africa after the top three. But catch Nicole on Survivor every single week on Thursday. Let's not forget also, Nicole, that you're doing some great stuff on your Instagram. You must follow all your different...
Yes, please follow actually LuxuriaZA.
Yeah, we're going to go to that now. But also all the stuff that you're doing with mountain climbing.
And underscore Nicole Kappa, and have a look and Nicole follow Kappa, link in bio.
And then, of course, do not miss Luxuria Lifestyle South Africa.
Yes.
And you'll have a look at your restaurants, for example, in it actually, which just popped into my head right now. We're going to do... You'll see that the shows are going to start appearing in it. It's going to have lots of different elements. Don't miss www.luxurialifestyle.com. Is SouthAfrica.com. That's something not to be missed. Spotlight, don't miss us every Tuesday. Let's see. Let's play something else out. Come on, let's all sing something. All right. Ain't no mountain high enough, maybe. I don't know.
I know what I was practicing.
Let's see.
I think it goes like this. I think it goes like this. No. There it is.
And that's Josh Ansley.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. He took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Street lights, people living just to find devotion, hiding somewhere in the night.
This is CliffCentral.com.